Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Eric Hasztein, the Memphis Grizzlies radio network play-by-play announcer, joins us each and every Thursday. Eric, I want to give you the utmost compliment. So I finally watched on, I think it was Tuesday night, I finally got lathered up and watched the Mark documentary.
Yeah.
Smart move by you to go full glasses, because also you're wearing real glasses. You're not wearing the readers.
Right.
I just felt like everything he said, it's like, that sounds so smart.
If you can't make it, fake it. But no, the years of reading little numbers on stat pages, I can go without them. But, I wear them. I don't wear them when I drive. That's the only time, because I can still see long distances. But, yeah, if I needed to read something. But thank you for saying that. It was a tremendous piece. We watched it one night in Orlando, and I really kudos to Michael Blevins and the staff with the Grizzlies that put that together. It brought back a lot of good memories. And it was I highly encourage everybody to watch it. And you know, we were all of us that were asked to participate were beyond honored to be part of it.
Well, I was curious, Eric, as I was watching it, you know, thinking about you, Pete, the people who called these games, like, do you have a favorite Marc Gasol call, favorite Marc Gasol moment? Was there anything that struck, you know, whether it was watching the documentary or something they didn't have in there? Do you have a behind-the-scenes thing? When you think of Marc Gasol, what's the signature memory in your mind for you?
They asked me that before we went in there, and you know, it's such a long time frame that it's hard to pick just one. A couple stick out, so bear with me. The first was, I'll never forget this, when he came over and they had their press conference. Remember, Mike Miller had come back and worn number 33, and the Grizzlies had Mike, and he was wearing number 33, and he was part of that group, and then he was going to be traded, and Mark comes in and grabs number 33, and Mike had, like, just left, and the press conference is happening, and someone kind of nudges me and goes, bold move for this kid to grab 33, like, Mike Miller's beloved, and I said, yeah, well, hopefully it pays off, and it turned out it did, obviously, because it's going to hang in the rafters. But I remember seeing him that day working out before the press conference with some coaches. And I kind of got the peek in, and I was like, whoa, this dude's different than when he left. Because we all remember, and you all in the documentary, you see it, you see high school Mark, who admittedly, by Mark's standards, said I got into some really bad eating habits.
My favorite Mark.
Really,
they had some highlights from the MUS game. Aaliyah goes, you were there. Go, front row, baby.
Yep. And you know, he went over and did what was best for him. And as Gary Parrish said in the documentary, he really wasn't even considered a college prospect. I think John Calipari said, yeah, I mean, he can walk on and maybe we'll make a player out of him. It was the best thing for him. So I remember that press conference and him working out and going, whoa. I remember him coming back a couple years later after a summer and again going, whoa, like transformed his body. Play-wise, the Denver runner was huge. The lob in. I think the one that really stands out to me was because I really didn't know they called it the $1 million strut. Mm. And
I don't follow, like, the stuff that they do. I knew Conor McGregor did it. But that game, it was such a rivalry. And, you know, when you're there, and at that time we were still sitting courtside, and, I mean, you can imagine what you hear walking in and what you hear said to the team, what you hear chirped about. And when he made that shot, when he took that corner three, because that's when he first started shooting threes and then strutted off, I mean, that was – it was electric. And, you know, that play really, really stood out to me, some of the dunks. I mean, you watch the highlights again and you marvel at – we almost got numb to how special a player he was, like a guy that at that size would see things that point guards didn't see. A lot of this run – you know, can be credited to his desire to never fail. I remember Moody Mark all the time, knowing that he didn't really want to talk to us, but would always give us the time of day because he trusted us. And, you know, especially in the playoffs, because that's where it was kind of where we developed that the whole Grizz Files thing we do was not having to talk to these guys every night. But during the playoffs, Grizz Files are done. You got to talk about the game. And he would kind of give me that look like, all right, if you're going to sit down now so I don't have to talk to everybody, but I'll talk to you. And it was funny. We laughed about it. And I remember him going from a carefree young man with, you know, a bright, long future in front of him to a father of two, happily married, talking about spending his off time reading a book and, you know, having a glass of wine at home to unwind. And I'm like, all right, well, you grew up. And just being a perfectionist. So, yeah, there's a lot. And, you know, there were times in that documentary, I think all of us went, oh, yeah, I'd forgotten about that because there were so many special moments with him.
Well, there was also the great moment of, like, reliving hairstyles of pretty much, like, Mark's little bit older than me, but it's like, oh, man, right at the end of high school, early college, that long floppy hair that made the girls go nuts. He had that look. Like, just watching his changing hairstyles. Also just seeing... man, we've made a lot of improvements in jerseys in, like, what, I don't know, 15 years. Like, some of those old Adidas, like, big, wide shoulders, like, man, those were not good looks.
No, and it was amazing. You know, he played with Darko, and Darko ripped one of those in half, and that brought the memory back. But the memory of those two being on the roster together. And, you know, Mark even admitted he and Mark Averone didn't click. And that he felt like, and he said it in the documentary, his career really took off when Lionel Hollins took over and had a similar mentality as Mark. It's why they got along. It's why they wanted to strangle each other at times. The looks were fun. You know, the frustration, the times he would talk and things that would happen. The one thing I always remember asking him, or talking to him about it, I would ask him about, like, this year's team, you guys were really good last. He's like, if we're not trying to get better, what are we doing? He was always of that mindset, no matter how good you are, you should get better every offseason. And I wasn't there for this moment, but I do remember stopping in an airport, the All-Star game where he and his brother tip center. And I stopped and I watched and I kind of just took a breath, and the guy next to me, who I have no idea who he was, where he was from, don't even remember the airport I was in. I'm going to guess it was either Charlotte or Dallas because it's usually where I fly through. And yeah, he kind of looked at me like funny. And I go, I work in the NBA. I work for the team that Mark plays for. Powell was there when I was there. Seeing this is really special. And he goes, that's really cool. And it was really cool. It was cool to see two brothers who had the utmost respect for each other go toe-to-toe. And I always remember Mark saying, you know, Powell's my brother and I love him, but I'm very different. And they were. They were very, very different people.
Yeah. No, you may never see something like that again, where, like, we had a Gasol on the Memphis Grizzlies for, what, 18 years in a row, I think it was.
Yeah, well, what was your note on that? Like, how many straight years was it?
I think it's 18.
I think that was your
01,
line.
01.
Yeah, I think that was your lines. Like, there's never been, like, this was the first time that there had ever not been a Gasol on the roster.
Yeah, whenever
the day they traded him.
Yeah,
the day they traded him in Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. That day is vivid for many, many reasons. Obviously, Mark got traded. His tweet with me, where he said, "Meanwhile, back at the house," and did the Freddie Mercury warming up his voice.
Yeah,
because he knew something was going down. But also that same day, the emotions being at shoot around that morning of the trade deadline, knowing not only are you almost 100% going to say goodbye to Mark, barring something crazy happening, but you were pretty sure we were losing Mike.
Yeah.
And that day, you know, obviously, I hate saying it like this because you guys know, you know how my feelings about talking about me. That day, having gotten to know these guys, watch them grow up, all of the things happening, that was hard. It was hard to see Mike that day. He went through shoot around. I caught him in the tunnel on the way back to the bus, and I just shook his hand. I said, hey, look, if this goes down, I just wanted to catch you before he left. Thank you for everything. I wish you and Mary and the kids all the best. I had said that to Mark already. And so that day, just remembers, I remember that night going for the first time since the Grizzlies have been in Memphis, there is no longer a Gasol on the roster. And that was a really weird feeling. Yeah. So the number of years, I guess, when he got traded in 18, right? So it was like 17 years.
I think it was technically 2019, 2018-19 season, I think.
Okay, right? So 18 years, yeah.
Yeah, because the Raptors won the last finals before COVID. That's right.
Yeah. So,
right.
Yeah, and what's interesting to me with that, you mentioned kind of the, you know, how it ended a little bit was, you know, hopefully, honestly, was just weird. I remember the last home game. I forget who they were playing, maybe Charlotte or something like that. But when he came out to the bench in the first half and then was gone, and I remember going to the locker room, his locker was empty. You know, like he had taken, moved his stuff. Or it was like in a trash bag, whatever. Like it was clear. You know, and I think there was a home game a couple nights before that where he did play and played well and they won.
Yeah.
And he like held court at his locker room and you could feel it even then. He was like reminiscing about ordering Big Macs at Lausanne and everything. And and then he didn't really get the full welcome back treatment because when he came back with the Lakers, it was during COVID. They were like, I was there.
Well, he didn't have a return game for the Raptors.
Yes.
And then the Lakers was the COVID year.
Yes. And
that's a shame because we've seen it for everybody else. Go ahead.
Yeah, no. And it was like 1,200 people there.
Well, remember, we'd started bringing fans back.
It was like 1,200 people.
And then there was another outbreak. And
now, he did get a huge ovation at Zeebo's, you know, number retirement. But that was Zeebo's night, obviously. And so that's what I think's going to be, you know, I think it'll be, you know, that's what makes Saturday so cool is that this will be the first real, you know, this is Mark's moment, if you will, to bask in kind of what everything he accomplished both as a Grizzly and in the community, you know, kind of feel and the love.
He wasn't one that desired those accolades. It's not that he didn't appreciate them, and it wasn't what drove him. And going back to Zeebo's night, you know, they had the television presentation, and they called me and they said, hey, we want you to host the pregame one at Rock and Soul. And I see Zach, and they come up to me and they said, hey, Mark's here and Zach doesn't know it, so we need you to play it off and bring Mark out. And I'll be honest with you guys, know I can get a tad emotional. I was tearing up. And Zach teared up. And when that happens, when you see Zach Randolph get a tear in his eyes, because I think what I said was, you know, the night's just about perfect. And Zach's looking at me like, what are you doing? And the last guy you want to make mad on his big night is Zach Randolph, right? Yeah. So I'm like, there's something missing. There's just one little thing missing. Well, it's not a little thing. It's a big thing. And Zach kind of looked at me and I said, we can't have this night without the guy that ran right by your side for all those years. And Mark opened the door and came in, and Zach got teary eyed, and everybody, you know, there was 100 people there. It wasn't anything like the arena, but they were just all like, oh, Mark's here. And Mark, the last thing he wanted to do was take away from Zach, but their embrace and their really seemed like seeing each other for the first time in a long time showed how special that relationship was. And you couldn't talk about two polar opposite upbringings than those two who on the court had each other's back. I mean, we don't have the famous I'll beat your ass the stickers if it's not for Zach basically telling Kendrick Perkins, if you touch my guy one more time, you and I are going to tangle in the back, and they almost did. Mm-hmm. And because Mark was like, he can hit me all he wants, I'm going to go score 25 on him. And those rivalries were just so special between what the Clippers were and what the Thunder became and what the Spurs were and what the Grizzlies were.
And in the meantime, the Lakers are figuring it out, trying to get back to a certain spot. The Warriors are developing. You know, we were talking about it last night on the way home. The 7-year playoff run, the people around the country that kind of shooed that away, it was special.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they didn't get to an NBA Finals. No, they didn't win an NBA championship. But they were the Western Conference team outside the Spurs that made it that many years in a row because they were really good. And they just caught a couple of bad breaks. One, Mike's face in particular, and Tony's hamstring injury. And then there was another, the year they lost in 7 to the Clippers. I thought that was one of their best teams, and they got caught. They got caught in a game where they got a little overconfident and then lost game 1 and had to come back for game 7, and Chris Paul was phenomenal, and the Clippers demolished them. So maybe there was meat left on the bone, but for me, that's a time that when I'm long gone and have hung up the headset, that's a time that I'll go back and go, you know, there was a special time in Memphis, and I was really, really lucky to be a part of it.
Yeah, no, and it's interesting you bring up Mark's surprise visit for the Zeebo ceremony. So the Zeebo ceremony was also a little, you know, we were just coming back from COVID. Conley wasn't there because he was playing, and then Tony wasn't there because he had run into his legal issues. And you mentioned you bringing up the Gasol surprise visit. I do wonder, excuse me, I've been looking at it. I've been thinking about it. Do we think, I don't think Mike Conley is going to be there on Saturday. We're going to get Tony Allen now there, and Zeebo, I assume, will be there. But do we think we're going to get the complete core four? Because Timberwolves play tomorrow in Phoenix and then Sunday in L.A. That feels like I know Mark came in on the red eye or whatever from Spain last time after playing a game, but that feels like a big ask of Mike Conley to go from Phoenix to Memphis to L.A.
It does, and if it doesn't happen, it's understandable. I know if Mike could be there, for sure he would be there. I did see Dave Yeager last night in Milwaukee, and he said, "I'll see you Saturday." So I'm assuming he's going to be there.
Kyle Lowry will be there. The other point guard from back when Mark started will be there.
Hey, you know what? And Kyle had a lot of respect, and Kyle, that was all part of it too. You know, remember they had both of those guys. Lionel had to make a decision. He did. And then Mark stood up in the offices when they were talking about trading Mike early on and said that that's not a guy you trade. That's a guy we can win with. And so, you know, a lot of this core four, you know, it was not only the roster construction, it was guys stepping up and saying, no, we need these guys to win. And look, I told somebody the other night, it was like a family. There were times these guys wanted to choke each other out. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not make it like everybody was dancing and, you know, and happy music and rainbows and, you know, tiptoeing through the flowers. There were nights where, like, Tony and Mark, I thought there was a good chance we were going to have a press release for why one of them wasn't playing the next night because they got into it, because they would butt heads. But when they hit the court, man, all of that went away, and they hammered it out, and they went out, and they worked together. And again, was it perfect? Nothing ever totally is. But, you know, when you talk about where this franchise was prior to that and where it got to, the levels it became, doesn't happen without 33, doesn't happen without 50, doesn't happen without 9, doesn't happen without 11, and the guys that played alongside them. It was a special time, and you went from, yeah, they're a nice little story. They made the playoffs 3 years in a row, but they lost 12 straight games. Now they're back in the tank. To, you go into that building, you better be ready to fight. You better be ready to scratch, claw, and do everything you can, because they're gonna play hard, they're going to play tough, they're going to play physical, but they're also going to play good basketball. It's different than the way a lot of other team plays, but as I used to say on my show, hey, we know it's different, and we don't care what other people think. You're coming in, you better know you're coming in to get tangled with.
Eric, we really appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Eric.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.